السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي جل وعلا، وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، ما بعد. Respected elders, brothers, and my mothers and sisters, Alhamdulillah, we have now reached the final session of this year's virtual Path to Piety program. And although we were not able to have an in-house Path to Piety program like we have every year, but Alhamdulillah, and we pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this year's virtual session will not be void of the same benefit. And the scholars mention that during times of pandemic and during times of epidemic, people's hearts are more open to accepting the words of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is why one of the reasons that is mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the ta'un and the waba, epidemics and pandemics, are actually a source of mercy and a source of rahmah for the believers. Because during normal times, we are very negligent of the words of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. During times like this, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He displays His qudrah, it softens the heart of the believer and it opens up the heart of a believer. And a believer is more prone to submitting to the words of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is why we see that many people who would not pray before during this time, they have started praying. Many people who may have never recited the Quran on a daily basis before, Alhamdulillah, during these days, they are spending time with the Holy Quran, reciting the Holy Quran and trying to understand the Holy Quran. So although we were not able to be in the masjid during this weekend, but Alhamdulillah, the words of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which were shared with us over the course of the past few days by our honorable and esteemed ulama, inshaAllah, they will have left a long-lasting effect on our hearts, inshaAllah. And as the brothers and sisters know, Alhamdulillah, the Islamic Society of Toronto, since this pandemic has started, has been offering daily programs through the Masjid Mixler. Alhamdulillah, from Monday to Friday, every day after Dhuhr Salah, there is a special short program that takes place in the Urdu language by our honorable and esteemed Imams, Maulana Muhammad Sahib Hafidhahullah, Maulana Imran Sahib Hafidhahullah. And daily after Maghrib Salah, 15 minutes after Maghrib Salah, we have a short program in English, conducted by myself in English language, with a short recital of Durood Sharif, 40 salat and salam upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Again, these programs take place Monday to Friday after Dhuhr Salah and after Maghrib Salah. And also daily after Isha Salah, short ta'aleem takes place in the Urdu language by our honorable Imam Qari Umar Farooq Sahab Hafidhahullah. And then a dua takes place, before which there is a short recital of Yasin. Again, this takes place on a daily basis. And on the weekends, we have more special programs. On Saturday after Salatul Dhuhr, we have Darsi Quran, a lesson of tafsir of the Holy Quran by our honorable Imam Manur Imran Sahab Patel, Damat Barakatuhum. And after Maghrib Salah as well, a dars of hadith, a lecture on hadith, also by Maulana Imran Patel Sahib, Damat Barakatuhum. And on Sundays after Salatul Dhuhr, there is a darsi Quran in the Urdu language by Maulana Muhammad Sahib, Damat Barakatuhum. And after Maghrib, there is a dars of hadith in the Urdu language by Maulana Muhammad Sahib as well, Damat Barakatuhum. So Alhamdulillah, there are many, many programs taking place online through our Mixler. Brothers and sisters are requested to tune in daily, and also encourage their friends and families, inshallah, to also tune in daily, inshallah, during this time where we are all at home and we have a free time, it will be, and like I mentioned earlier, that alhamdulillah, during this time, our hearts have softened up and are more prone to accepting the words of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then inshallah, by us joining in and tuning into this program, inshallah, it will be very, very beneficial for ourselves and our families. Inshallah, for this last session of Path to Piety this year, we are very, very fortunate to have with us Maulana Suleiman Rawat Sahab, Damat Barakatuhum, from South Africa. Maulana Suleiman Rawat Sahab was with us last year in last year's Path to Piety program. He is a very famous scholar in South Africa and also internationally. He is a radio host on the famous radio channel in South Africa called Radio Islam. And all the South African Muslims tune into this program on a daily basis. He conducts the morning session, Sabahul Muslim, where almost all the Muslim households in South Africa, everybody tunes in and benefits from Hazrat Maulana in his sessions, which take place over Radio Islam. We pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts his efforts, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes his services for the deen a means of hidayah and a means of guidance for all Muslims and our brothers and sisters in humanity throughout the entire world. And finally, once again, I would like to thank all our guest speakers who shared their time with us over the past few days. Mufti Abdul Subhan Dalwi, Maulana Ibrahim Baham Sahab, Maulana Imran Sahab, and Maulana Suleiman Rawat Sahab. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all their efforts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect them. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take them from strength to strength. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to continue taking benefit from them. And without any further ado, inshallah, I will call upon our honorable guest, Maulana Suleiman Rawat Sahab, inshallah. He will deliver the final lecture, and after the lecture, he will conclude with the final dua. Jazakumullahu khairan ahsan al-jaza. For a half a minute or so, the broadcast might stop, and inshallah, it will connect once again. Brothers, inshallah, are requested to stay tuned. Jazakumullahu khairan ahsan al-jaza.
وما يعلم جنود ربك إلا هو وما هي إلا ذكرى للبشر صدق الله العظيم. Honorable ulama, respected brothers, mothers and sisters, we are not only going through a difficult period in our lives, but we are going through an unprecedented period in our lives. Often we hear the term being used to describe the outbreak of the coronavirus as uncharted territory. Recently, I was part of a delegation of religious leaders that met with the president of the country that I reside in, South Africa, and the president made a similar remark. He said, "We are in uncharted territory." Now, this reminds me of a few things that I want to mention up front in terms of what we as Muslims need to be conscious of. And that is a small virus which is microscopic, which cannot be seen except with a special microscope, not even an ordinary microscope. Such a minuscule, such a small virus has held the entire world to ransom. The entire world has practically come to its knees. That is the effect and the impact of a virus that is microscopic in nature, a virus that cannot even be seen with the naked eye. And the first thing that this reminds us of is that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is all-powerful. Allah is the one that is in control. As Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says in this verse which I recited in my introduction, وَمَا يَعْلَمُ جُنُودَ رَبِّكَ إِلَّا هُوَ. None is aware of the army of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala except Allah. Allah can turn anything into His army. At times Allah uses water, at times Allah uses wind, at times Allah uses the ground which is open and split, at times Allah uses illness, sickness, calamity, difficulty, hardship, and at times Allah uses a microscopic virus a small, minute virus to bring the world in 2020, with all of its sophistication, its technological advancement, its medicinal and medical capabilities and technologies, with all of that, there is no virus. There is no vaccine, rather. With all of that, there is no solution from a medical perspective, from a scientific perspective. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is reminding us that He is the one that is in charge. He is the one that is in control. He is the source of everything, and He is the solution to everything. It's something which we as Muslims fundamentally believe in. Every Muslim believes in that. But it's a great reminder from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Even to those who are not believers, recently I saw a message during the rounds that where is the atheist now? Those who believe and those who claim that how can you believe in a God when you can't see Him? Well, the whole world believes this virus has come, but none of us has seen it. We've seen the effects of it. We've seen the power of it. We've seen the impact of it. But behind that, we should be seeing the power, the effects, and the impact of the greatness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So that is the first point that I wanted to make. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is manifesting His power to us, that all of you together have no control. Allah is the one who is in control. Look at from travel, modern forms of travel. Who would have envisaged from amongst us that most of the airlines have most of their aircraft grounded at their home airports, at the airports in their country? Who would have thought that people in the first world and people in the third world, people in the developed world and the people in the not so developed world, people in cities, people in informal settlements in the deep villages of Africa, none have been spared. Everyone has been impacted. If not directly by contracting the virus, then indirectly by being constrained due to the effects of the virus and due to the limitations that have been put in place by the various authorities and governments. Iman is something which is so powerful, really so powerful. And this is what we need to be reminding ourselves of now, that it is Allah who is in control. It is Allah who is in charge. The second point I wanted to make is that the impact of this virus has stripped us naked of all of our securities. As humans, as Muslims, we are aware that Allah is in charge and everything is in the control of Allah. Allah plans and we plan, but Allah is the best of planners. We almost say it in a cliched kind of way. You know, I plan, but Allah plans. We plan, but Allah plans. This has shown us. I had planned to be in Toronto this weekend with you at Masjid Darus Salam with Mufti Saab and Brother Abdul Rahim and everyone else. And you had planned to host me this weekend, but Allah is the best of planners. People had planned to be in Umrah. People had planned to visit the Haramain in Ramadan. People had planned many things, but Allah is the blessed of planners. It is only Allah's plan in the end that prevails. Everyone else's plan is just but a plan of a human. Now, why do I say that it strips us naked of all our securities? The other day, I was having a discussion with one of my colleagues at work, and he said, you know, normally if an economy is in recession, or a particular country has been hit with a setback, many people, especially the middle class to the affluent, they have some sort of a fallback plan. So if you take South Africa as an example where I reside, if the economy in South Africa hits a bad patch, if we go into recession, then the middle class to the affluent will say, well, you know, I got some investments offshore. I've got some property in Dubai. I'm getting some rental from property that I own in India, or whatever the case may be. Some people may say, well, I've got investments in gold and silver. I've got investments in the stock exchange. And the companies that I've invested in are not only invested in South Africa, they have a global footprint. But so you kind of almost have a fallback position that if the economy in my own country, you know, takes a knock, I've got this is my plan B, I've got that is my plan C. If I lose my job, I own a property from which I get rental. If the business that I'm involved in takes a bit of a downturn, I've got alternate investments. But the outbreak of this virus, it kind of crippled everything all over the world, that people's plan B and plan C and plan D and plan E has also been compromised. Not only is your core business affected, because in many countries, like in South Africa, we are in lockdown. So you've been told that, okay, close your business. You are not dealing in anything essential, so close it. Now, okay, I've got investments in properties, but then the tenants, they can't afford to pay the rental now because of the lockdown. I've got something in the stock exchange, but that's also taking a knock because of the global phenomenon. So this virus has stripped us naked of all sense of security, that I've got this plan and that plan to fall on. However, when you get stripped naked of all of your securities and you feel totally insecure and you feel totally vulnerable, now you are ripe to once again re-establish a strong connection with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Now you are in the prime position to be able to once again establish deep into your consciousness and deep into your soul the realization that my reliance is only in Allah. Of course, we live in a world where there's a system and we work according to that system, we plan according to that system, and we create safety measures according to that system. And that is not in any way in contradiction to our faith. That is totally in alignment with what Islam has taught us. But this is a reminder that you plan, you make an effort, but your reliance should only be on Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Moving further now, I want to talk about how we should approach this particular period. It's a period of uncertainty, it's a period of anxiety, and it's a period that's leading us into Ramadan. It is what it is. Some countries are in total lockdown, have been for a number of weeks, will be for a number of weeks, perhaps even months. Some countries are not in a lockdown per se, but they have some restrictions, some limitations. And this is pretty much the case in most parts of the world. There's a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that is very relevant here. And that is the famous hadith wherein the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ. That amazing, amazing is the affair of a believer. Right? If something good happens, you make shukr. And if something bad happens, you make sabr. So we need to make sabr over the consequences of the impact of this virus. We need to make sabr. But at the same time, we need to make shukr that there's so much that Allah has blessed us with that makes it easier for us to deal with the consequences of this virus as compared to other people. There are people who are in lockdown, but who have savings, who have a house, who have food, who have their family with them. And then there are people who are in lockdown. In my country, there are millions of people who earn today, and whatever they earn today, they eat with that tomorrow, meaning they live hand to mouth, as we say. For them, the lockdown has been catastrophic because they don't have credit cards. They don't have savings accounts. They don't have arrangements with stores to be able to buy on credit. Whatever they earn today, that is what they spend in terms of sustaining themselves the next day. And there are people like that all over the world who are also affected by the virus. They don't have a proper home. Some of them live in a shack. They live in a steel structure of a few meters by a few meters, and the entire family has to exist in that steel structure. This may be, you know, quite unknown to people in first world countries like Canada. But this is the reality of millions, if not billions, of people across the globe. So as much as we're exercising sabr and patience over the consequences of the outbreak of this virus, we need to be making shukr to Allah that we still have food, that we still have shelter, that we still have our family. You know, when we talk and on the radio in recent days, in Radio Islam International, we've been speaking about, you know, how to deal with having the kids at home now all the time. The wife has got to deal with the husband being at home all the time. The husband and wife are in each other's faces all the time. Because in South Africa, we've already been in lockdown for 2 weeks, and we're looking at yet another 3 weeks. The president just announced a few days ago an extension of 2 weeks. And people are saying, hey, I'm getting irritable. My husband is in the way all the time. I'm getting irritable. The kids are making noise all the time because, you know, children are children. They have the exuberance of youth. They're not able to go out and be with their friends and, you know, go and socialize. And I said, you know, this is so middle class problems. These are typical middle class problems. There are people who are living in a shack and 20 of them are using one toilet. 20 of them are using one space in which to sleep. So there's so much that we need to make shukr for. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala grant us that gratitude. So put all of this into perspective as a Muslim. Do not become despondent. Yes, of course we are concerned. Of course we are anxious. But we have Allah. Allah in His wisdom knows why He is testing us. Allah in His wisdom knows why He is putting us through this condition. For a believer, nothing is negative if you take a positive lesson out of it. Nothing is negative if your approach towards it is positive. Nothing is negative if the outcome brings you closer to Allah and keeps you closer to Allah. And this brings me now to the core of the message that I want to share with you this evening. We are now going to be entering the month of Ramadan very soon, inshallah. And in most countries around the world, our normal Ramadan routine will be compromised somewhat. In some countries, you won't be able to congregate in the masjid at all. In other countries, it will be for limited durations or for limited numbers, whatever the case may be. It's not going to be a Ramadan as usual. It's not the normal Ramadan. So how do we approach it? What should be the mindset of a believer as we approach the great month of Ramadan under these very challenging, very different, very unique circumstances? The first thing we need to understand, and this is a point that I've been driving home in recent days, is that this current season in the Islamic calendar, Rajab, Sha'ban, Ramadan, is a season of change. You see, there's a beautiful philosophy behind the month of Ramadan, which many of us miss out on, which many of us don't realize. We focus on the acts of ibadah and worship and the rewards of Ramadan. So we know that you need to fast in Ramadan. We know you need to perform Salatul Taraweeh in Ramadan. We know you need to give charity in Ramadan. You need to sit for itikaf in Ramadan. And these acts all earn great reward. We are totally aware of that. And we tend to focus only on that. So we do the deeds, we do the good deeds, and we earn the rewards. But not long after Ramadan, we notice that as Muslims, as servants of Allah, our spiritual state is exactly the same as it was before Ramadan. So Ramadan did not bring us closer to Allah. It did not change us. And that's where we miss out on the philosophy and the benefit behind why Allah grants us the month of Ramadan every year. This month is meant annually to bring us closer to Allah and to keep us closer to Allah. It's a season of change. Some scholars have said, like annually, you take your car for a service to the mechanic, and when it comes back from there, it performs optimally because the oil has been changed and the filters have been changed and whatever needs to be done to the car has been done to the car. Now it's running optimally. It's not about what happens during the service. It's about what happens after the service. And this is the point that we miss with the great month of Ramadan. That what is my state on a continuous basis after the month of Ramadan? Not just for a few days. And your state and your condition after Ramadan will depend on your approach and your intention prior to Ramadan. Many of us, we only approach the great month of Ramadan with the intention of doing those good acts which are advocated and securing the reward. And that we will get, inshallah. So you'll fast and you'll get your reward. You'll read Quran, you'll get your reward. You'll sit for itikaf, you'll get your reward. You'll perform Taraweeh Salah, you'll get your reward. But what about the benefit of Ramadan? Has it changed you for the better? And this is the season, Rajab, Sha'ban, Ramadan. It is the season of change. And in every crisis, there's an opportunity. In this crisis that the world is facing, of the outbreak of the coronavirus, there are great opportunities for us that we can maximize on that will better prepare us for the month of Ramadan, which is literally like 10 days away, and which will prepare us to take more benefit from this Ramadan than any Ramadan prior in our lives. Let us be optimistic. Let us, as Muslims, as believers, as mu'mineen and as muslimin, look at it from that particular perspective. Now, the first thing we need to do as we approach Ramadan is, due to the lockdown, due to the restrictions, we have much more time on our hands. And time should be used constructively. Time is very beneficial. Time is not only money, time is life. Every second that passes in your life is a second that passes away. So you can never compensate for time. Don't waste time, even during the lockdown. Now take out the time. You've got added time. You know, somebody so beautifully said the other day, you have time to make time. You have time to make time. So, okay, you've got time on your hands. Daily, take out some time. I would even suggest take a pen and paper and do a spiritual audit of your life. A spiritual audit of your life. Look, a prudent And a astute businessman, at least once a year, he does an audit of his business. He gets the experts in to help him with the audit, even if he is running a profitable business. Why does he do the audit? Because he wants to know that where are my areas of profit so that I can maximize? Where are my areas of loss so that I can mitigate and minimize? And how can I make my business overall more profitable? He doesn't sit back. An astute and a prudent businessman doesn't sit back and say, well, I'm making a profit. Why should I worry? How can I make a greater profit? How can I minimize my losses? How can I streamline my operations? How can I cut my overheads? This is the kind of business talk. And this is for dunya. So for deen, we need to annually do a spiritual audit. Check the state of our lives. What is the condition of my salah? How much of Quran do I read on a daily basis? How often do I make a heartfelt dua? How often do I chant the dhikr and the remembrance of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? Do I fulfill the rights of others? What is the nature and the extent and the quality of my akhlaq and my character? How do I deal with people? How do I talk to people? How do I interact with people? How obedient a servant of Allah am I? Am I ready to die? If I have to die right now, because death is not in our control, it's in the control of Allah, would I be happy with my state that I meet my Allah as I am currently? If not, then what do I need to change? What do I need to fix? And this is something that we need to do. Actually, we need to be doing it much more regularly. But on an annual basis, you do a major spiritual audit of your life. List the pros and cons. Do a SWOT analysis of the spiritual side of your life. Now, after you do that, you start planning. You start planning for what? Not only for the fast of Ramadan or for the Taraweeh of Ramadan, now that the masajid are not accessible, where are we going to do our Taraweeh? How are we going to do our Taraweeh? That is there. We do that every year, right? Start planning for change. That's my message to you today. Start planning for change. That this Ramadan is a Ramadan where I'm going to change for the better. Already the scholars are telling us that this is the time when you need to be making added istighfar, added tawbah, crying before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, because that is what will draw the mercy, and that is what will draw the blessings, and that is what will draw the assistance of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So a major spiritual audit. Now when the audit is finished, you don't just leave it at that, because the audit is an assessment. You need to draw up a plan of action. And I want to suggest a few things that we need to do, which will ensure that we have a viable plan of action for change, to become better Muslims, to become better servants of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The first part of that plan of action is to give up sin. To give up sin. You see, many times we make this mistake when we approach high season. And Ramadan is the highest of season. We focus on, hey, how much extra Quran am I going to read? How many khatams am I going to make? How much of dhikr am I going to make? How much of charity am I going to give? All of which is noble, necessary, meritorious, and virtuous. But how often do we say, how much of sin am I going to give up? The more we give up sin between now and Ramadan, the cleaner we will be as we enter Ramadan, the more receptive we will be to the mercy, blessings, and effulgence of the great month of Ramadan. And the more we give up sin in Ramadan, remember, as much as good deeds are multiplied, sin is also multiplied. If you do a good act in Ramadan, it's multiplied by 70 and beyond. If you do a wrong deed in Ramadan, it's also multiplied. So your liabilities could exceed your assets at the end of Ramadan if you are not careful. Sinning is like putting on the AC in a room but then leaving the doors and the windows open. You don't get the full impact of the AC. So doing good deeds in Ramadan and then sinning is you diluting the effect and the reward of your own good deeds. That's one thing. But the second thing is this. You can never become a good servant of Allah, and you can never become an obedient servant of Allah as long as you don't give up sin. Now, giving up sin does not mean that you will never sin. خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. Man has been created weak. خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ هَلُوعًا. Man has been created hasty. But it means that sin will be an aberration in your life, not a constant in your life. When you do sin, it will be a mistake. It will not be something which is part of your routine. Unfortunately for you and I, sinning has become routine. It has become so routine that we are now immune to it and we are oblivious of it. One alim always used to give the example. He says, when an ordinary person goes to the toilet, he gets the foul and repugnant smell. But when the toilet cleaner goes to the toilet, he doesn't get the smell. The reason is, he's so exposed to it that his senses have become immune to it. So you and I, we are sinning so repetitively, so habitually, that we have become immune to it. We don't realize sin in many ways has become second nature. And that's why we need to do this spiritual audit, so that we are able to ascertain, you know, what are the sins in my life? Major sins, minor sins, daily sins, occasional sins, open sins, secret sins. So as long as you cannot or you do not give up sin, you will not be able to become an obedient servant of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Giving up sin is hard. A person can read juz upon juz of the Quran. He can give big amounts in charity. He can go for hajj. He can go for umrah. He can sit for itikaf. He can read lengthy rakats of salah. All of that is easier than giving up a sin. But sin is more important. Giving up sin is more important. After your obligatory deeds, like performing your salah and giving your zakah, the most important thing in the life of a believer is to give up sin. And we don't give this its due priority. We kind of ignore it by trying to increase the amounts of nawafil that we do. How many dhikrs and how many wada'if and how much of Quran have I read? All of which is meritorious and should be there. But more important than all of that is to give up sin, to give up the disobedience of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Otherwise, you'll never attain closeness to Allah. We will never be able to attain closeness to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Sin has many consequences. You lose the luster on your face. Your sustenance becomes constrained. Now the whole world economically is in a panic. Nobody knows what's going to happen even after the lockdown. No one knows. Well, sin is going to overcomplicate it. Sitting at home, having lots of time at your hands and not much constructive to do, we should be careful that we don't fall more into sin. Sitting at home and gossiping, sitting at home and watching content that is not permissible on our devices, sitting at home and you know, doing things which are problematic from the perspective of what Allah has enshrined in our deen, then it's just going to make things worse for us. Sin is what brings calamities. The scholars are telling us we need to be making tawbah and istighfar now. Sin is what creates complication in your relationships. There's a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you notice your spouse, your children, or your subordinates are not listening to you, it's time to check the state of your relationship with Allah. Because the stronger your relationship with Allah, the stronger your relationship with humans will be. When your relationship with weak humans is weakening, it means that your relationship with Allah is weak. Sin makes you lose modesty. It makes your heart get sealed. It makes you lose your connection with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. To do neki, to do good is easy. To abstain from sin is difficult, but to abstain from sin is most important. When that sahabi came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, teach me that which will make me a pious person. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ittaqul maharim, taqun a'bad an-nas. Stay away from that which is haram and you would be the most pious of people. You would be the most pious of people. So let's do this spiritual audit. And after we do the spiritual audit, let's make it our first priority to abstain from sin. Once Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma was asked that who is the better of two people? The one does a lot of good, but he also has a lot of sin. And the other has little good, but he has little sin. Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma said, this is a no-brainer. The person who does a lot of good but has a lot of sin is inferior to the person who does a little good but has little sin. Because after fulfilling your compulsory obligations, like your salah and your zakah, the most important thing is to abstain from sin. The beauty about, you know, removing sin from our lives is this, that you could have sinned for 70 years, but 1 minute of sincere tawbah wipes the slate clean. 1 minute. And that's when the devil becomes so despondent. So these are the times. Right now, this calamity ought to have woken us up and shocked us into some sort of realization. This is the time to sit in isolation, to sit with our families and our homes and to beg Allah for forgiveness. And to ask Allah to give us the courage and the willpower to give up sin. List your sins. I mean, privately for yourself, not for others. Right? And don't let that list of sins be, make you despondent. Look, don't look at your weakness. Look at the greatness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and then work out a plan of action in terms of how you're going to overcome the sin. The second thing I want to mention is that today, lifestyle coaches, they are the ones to whom many people listen. They would pay top dollar to go to listen to Robin Sharma, who comes from Canada, to listen to Stephen Covey, to listen to Jonathan Brickfield and all of these guys, and you know, they've written books and they've become millionaires in the process. They say one thing, which our deen has always said: in order for you to be successful, you can't do the right things occasionally. In order for you to become successful, you have to develop a routine of good habits. You have to develop a routine of good habits. I'm saying that these few weeks that we are in lockdown or we are under restriction, together with Ramadan, gives us a period wherein we can do a lifestyle change. We start off by doing a lifestyle audit, and then we can do a lifestyle change. We can develop a routine of good habits. Perform your salah on time. Develop that routine, even if it's in your home now. You have a dedicated place for salah and ibadah in your home. You know, every crisis has its opportunities. As much as our hearts pine for us to be in the masjid, as much as our hearts ache because now we have been constrained and we have been prohibited from congregating in the masjid, no doubt, is the central focus of blessings and ibadah and worship. But Islam always wanted us to have spiritual activity in our homes as well. And by and large, this has become neglected. And one opportunity in this crisis is to reactivate spiritual activity in our homes. You know, have a routine. Alhamdulillah, every day after Asr, I sit with my family and we make a collective dua right till Maghrib. Then we read Maghrib Salah with the Awwabin. After which we read the evening surahs. Surah Waqi'ah, Surah Mulk, Alif Lam As-Sajda. Then we recite the Tasbihat for the evening. 100 times istighfar, 100 times durood, 100 times third kalima, coupled with that ayat kareema, la ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. We then go have supper and we come back. After we come back, we talk. Each child in the home has been given a book to read, an Islamic book. And we ask them to talk about what they read for the day. And then we perform Isha Salah, and then they're allowed to go and have time with their gadgets and do homework, and because the schools are working digitally and electronically. After Fajr Salah, we all sit collectively, read Surah Yasin, reads the dhikr and the adhkar of the mornings. They all have specific targets in terms of how much Quran they need to read for the day. I'm just sharing one example, but you need to have a routine. You need to once again reactivate that spiritual activity in your home. That's an opportunity that this crisis presents. We were too, you know, modern life is too hectic, too busy. You leave home early, you come back home late. So the spirituality in the home has been neglected. Now we have an opportunity to revive that, to reactivate that, and to develop a routine, not only for the home, but for our lifestyle, where your entire routine revolves around your salah. Not that you have a routine and you're trying to find salah for time for salah in it. So have a routine where there's no sin, where everything revolves around your salah, where there's constant daily recitation of the Quran, constant and regular daily adhkar and dua. Dua is most important. Dua is when you talk to Allah. Dua is not when you just chant a few supplications that you have memorized. It's the, you know, the cry of your heart. Now that you're at home, you are in isolation, that you have the time, pour your heart out in front of Allah. Develop that routine of talking to Allah daily, individually and as a family. Then the reading. I mean, reading is what really broadens your horizons. Reading is what really sharpens your intellect, and daily charity. I mean, even if you cannot physically go out, electronically, you can do charity daily. But use this period. Generally, the scholars tell us you need 40 days to develop a routine. Now, we are about 40 days away from the day of Eid. The next 40 days, if we do a spiritual audit, and if we develop a spiritual routine, and if we have a spiritual plan of action, one that is aiming for change, after 40 days, we will have a changed routine, a changed lifestyle. We will be changed Muslims. We will be better servants of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That's the core of my message for you today. Value your time. You have lots of time because of the lockdown, because of the restrictions. Value your time. Allah alone knows if we will be alive to see another Ramadan. Allah alone knows what is going to happen and how long it's going to take us to overcome this virus. Let's not become despondent. Let's remain positive and let's have this plan of action. In conclusion, I want to say one or two quick things. Look, obey the rules. Obey the rules. This is not the time to become absorbed by conspiracy theories. Don't watch every video clip that's sent to you on WhatsApp and don't read every story and every theory. It is what it is. Wherever it is originated, whoever was behind it. In the end, everything comes from Allah. Everything is controlled by Allah. Obey the rules of your government. This is not the time for Muslims to fight for their rights. This is the time for Muslims to be responsible. This is the time for Muslims to lead the way, to show other communities how we value life, how we value good health, how we are disciplined, and we will not try and beat the system. We will not try and look for loopholes. We will not violate the rules and regulations simply because we are not getting caught. We will do what is responsible. We will set a high benchmark for ourselves. We won't say, oh, but that person is getting away with it, or that person's got a concession, or that community is doing it like this. This is not the time to fight for rights and say, we want a right to do this, and we have a right to do that. This is the time to be responsible. This is the time to support your community leadership. This is not the time to break ranks. This is not the time to try and be popular by defying what the majority of leaders and the mainstream leaders are saying. This is the time to be disciplined. This is the time to fall behind our leaders, our community leaders, our religious leaders, and even the government that is, you know, trying its best to bring things under control. This is the time to show the discipline of Islam and to the responsible nature that the character of a Muslim demands of a Muslim. Many organizations are going through difficult times because the economy is now in a shock as a result of the outbreak of the virus. People's businesses have taken knock. They don't have direct access. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us the best charity is that charity that you give when you fear poverty. So we're all going through uncertain times. We don't know what's on the other side. Some have to take pay cuts. Some are not being paid. Some, their businesses are closed. But this is the best time to give charity. This is the best time to support the initiatives. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala grant us all the understanding. I would like to take this opportunity to thank Mufti Ismail Sahab, Brother Abdul Rahim Sahab, the committee, for extending the invite for me to come to Path to Piety this year. I was there last year. I was really looking forward to it. Everything was set. But like I said, we plan and Allah plans and Allah knows what's the wisdom behind the current situation. Allah says, at times you may dislike something, but Allah has put a lot of goodness in it. Let's make the most of the situation that we have in front of us. I will now conclude, inshallah, with a short dua and supplication. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala accept our supplication. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم لا مانع لما أعطيت ولا معطي لما منعت ولا راد لما قضيت ولا ينفع ذا الجد منك الجد إنك على كل شيء قدير اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان وجعلنا من الراشدين وجعلنا من المهديين غير ضالين ولا مضلين اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما ربنا لا تجعلنا فتنة للقوم الظالمين ونجنا برحمتك من القوم الكافرين اللهم إنا نسألك الجنة وما قرب إليها من قول وعمل ونعوذ بك من النار وما قرب إليها من قول وعمل اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك والجنة ونعوذ بك من سخطك وغضبك والنار اللهم إنا نسألك فجاءة الخير ونعوذ بك من فجاءة الشر اللهم بارك لنا في الموت وفيما بعد الموت اللهم اجعل خير أيامنا يوم نلقاك فيك اللهم أحينا على الإسلام وأمتنا على الإيمان واحشرنا يوم القيامة مع المتقين مع الأبرار اللهم اجعل قبورنا روضة من رياض الجنان ولا تجعل قبورنا حفرة من حفر النيران اللهم يسر لنا عند سؤال منكر ونكير يا رب العالمين اللهم أجرنا من النار يا مجير يا مجير يا مجير O most merciful Allah, most kind Allah, most compassionate Allah, most loving Allah, most forgiving Allah. Forgive all our sins, Ya Allah. Forgive all our sins, Ya Allah. Past sins, Ya Allah. Present sins, Ya Allah. Future sins, Ya Allah. Minor sins, Ya Allah. Major sins, Ya Allah. Public sins, private sins, sins committed knowingly, unknowingly. Ya Allah, this life of sin has complicated our lives, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we are tired of the shackles of sin, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, liberate us from a life of sin, Ya Allah. Make us your obedient servants, Ya Allah. Make us your obedient servants, Ya Allah. Fill our hearts with your love, Ya Allah. Make us your beloved, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us success in this world, Ya Allah. Success in the qabr, Ya Allah. Success in the akhirah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, bring your dhikr into our hearts, Ya Allah. Bring the tilawat of your Quran onto our tongues, Ya Allah. Bring sunnah into our actions, Ya Allah. Bring deen into our lives, Ya Allah. Make us the flag bearers of Islam, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us barakah in our health, Ya Allah. In our wealth, Ya Allah. In our families, Ya Allah. In our businesses, Ya Allah. In our time, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, protect us from all illnesses, Ya Allah. Physical illnesses, Ya Allah. Spiritual illnesses, Ya Allah. All calamities, difficulties and hardships, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, this coronavirus has affected and afflicted the entire world, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you uplift it, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, it is minuscule, but you are great, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, it is devastating, but you are great, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, it is deadly, Ya Allah, but you are great, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, remove this difficulty and this hardship from us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, those who have been afflicted, grant them a speedy recovery and cure, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, those of us who are not affected, Ya Allah, protect us, Ya Allah. Protect us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we have taken the masajid for granted, Ya Allah. We have taken salah and congregation for granted, Ya Allah. We have taken our movement for granted, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, now you are testing us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we are weak, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we are weak, Ya Allah. Uplift this test, Ya Allah. Reunite us with the masajid, Ya Allah. Let us be able to perform salah and congregation again, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, uplift this virus, Ya Allah. Uplift the consequences, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, all those who are in difficulty and hardship, economically, physically, spiritually, mentally, and emotionally, as a result of the outbreak of this virus, you guide them, Ya Allah. Make it easy for them, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, let us take the most out of this bad situation, Ya Allah. Let it be a moment of change for us, Ya Allah. A moment of betterment for us, Ya Allah. A defining moment for the better in our lives, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, let us prepare the best that we can in this next 10 days for Ramadan, Ya Allah. Let this be the best Ramadan of our lives, Ya Allah. Let us be better Muslims after Eid than we were ever before, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we look not at our weakness today, Ya Allah. We look at your greatness, Ya Allah. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala al-Nabi. يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم سبحان ربنا رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين Once again, جزاكم الله for the opportunity to say a few words over the mixler and hopefully for Allah تبارك وتعالى has willed we will meet sooner rather than later in person. From myself, Sulaiman Ravid, here in South Africa. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.